there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week, I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. I'm so excited about my passenger today. She is one of the most successful singer-songwriters ever. She's a Spice Girl, and her critically acclaimed eponymous new album has given me life. Buckle up and hold on to your complimentary nuts. It's Melanie C.
This is the final boarding call for passenger Melanie C. I repeat, this is the final boarding call, Melanie C. Thank you.
Melanie C. Welcome to Flying Allen Air.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited. I've got that kind of, you know, anxiety before a holiday. You know, that nervousness in your tum.
Have you got your passport?
Oh, I've got it. Do you know what I do? Because I travel so much.
Of course.
Normally, you know, with work, I can sometimes be travelling, be back and forward to the airport at least once a week. And I always check my passport about three times. I'm completely paranoid of picking up the wrong one. And I was rushing out of the house a couple of years back, just before Christmas, going to do some shows, actually. And I got to Heathrow, and the guy goes to me, "This isn't you."
No.
And I picked up my daughter's passport, I was thinking, there's no way on earth I've made this mistake, because I know I, you know, compulsively check it three times. Oh, got mail. But I picked up the wrong passport, and because it was Christmas, it was dead busy. I couldn't get a courier.
No.
Anyway, Uber to the rescue, and they, there was someone at home, thankfully.
Girl, surely you could have said, "Come on, I'm Melanie C, love. This is my passport," pointing at your face.
Well, I've done that when I've had my little girl, because we've got different surnames. I never married her dad.
Okay.
And there's this thing, I know a lot of mums out there do have different surnames to their kids.
Of course, look, hey, so, it's the 90s.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... It's the 90s now.
No, I always say that because that's where I started saying it, but I can't be bothered to move on with it. It's the 90s. Chill out. It's actually 2021.
I was quite concerned then, because I thought, I'm still in a trackie.
Yeah, you
Everyone's
are.
Everyone's in a trackie these days.
I can't wear anything that's not elasticated waist.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, when the whole COVID thing ends and we go out there, we have to wear proper clothes. And then I thought, but I've never worn proper clothes. What am I worried for?
Dressing for this pandemic for decades.
25 years. So back to the saga.
Yeah.
So when I get to the gate sometimes, and if I have my little girl with me, and you have to show their passport and, you know, different things they want to see. And I didn't have, the passport, obviously, and the birth certificate. And one time I didn't have her birth certificate to prove, because my name's on the birth certificate. And I just said, "Google me." But they're not very impressed at passport control in Germany when you say Google me.
Oh, no, yeah, that's not going to go
down
well.
It's not going to go down well.
I'm afraid you have to have the right passport, even if you are a Spice Girl.
Now, we're talking about holidays. It's a travel podcast. Now, we've sort of been on holiday together ish. Friday Night Project.
Oh, my, where were we? Magaluf.
Was it Magaluf or Benidorm?
It was Mallorca, so that's Magaluf,
yeah,
isn't it?
It must be Magaluf.
Yeah, yeah. We played Crazy Golf.
But, hey, listen, you've probably wiped this out your memory, but me, oh, my God, singing Baby When You're Gone with you in the EastEnders pub. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm singing with Melanie C like this. And then I was like, oh, wow, amazing. Then I looked up, there's a massive picture of Wellard above the fireplace. And you're like, oh, slightly fat cat. There was, was it surreal?
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what? You have brought memory back there because we have had quite a few crazy moments.
We have. Did we gate crash that wedding?
When we gate crash. Well, you didn't gate crash. You were invited. We'd had a few tipples, hadn't we? And you were like, come with me. And I was thinking, this is such a great idea. Spice Girl, gate crashing a wedding. But I was on the dance floor. I think we were dancing to Madonna with the bride.
Yes, yes.
And I started sobering up thinking, what am I doing? Where am I?
You made her day. You made her day.
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. But in hindsight, I was like, you don't want to upstage the bride, do you?
Yeah.
A Spice Girl walking in. But as long as she, you know, she was happy about it.
Oh, my God. The all's perfect good. Wedding gift ever. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, that was like, we'd done the show together, haven't we? We thought, oh, let's go and have a bevy. And then, yeah, you know, blah, blah. Next thing you know, yeah. Helping myself to slice the wedding cake as I go out. Right, now listen. Travel. Now, I can't believe it. You went round Latin America with a load of drag queens.
Mm.
Now, this sounds like the plot of a Carry On film. Now, tell me about this, because you're promoting Melanie C.
Yeah.
Your amazing new album.
Yeah.
So tell me, how much fun did you have? It sounds like a scream.
My goodness. Well, 2019 was the most incredible year.
Yeah.
We did the Spice Girls Stadium shows.
Which I came to with Adele. Oh. I'll just pick that name off the floor.
OMG. That night was crazy, wasn't it? That was our last night at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best.
Well, I remember going back to my dressing room, because obviously that night you've got loads of friends in, loads of family, loads of celebs, and Adele, and you were there that night. So I was like dead busy in the bar, like going round, seeing everybody. And I went back to my dressing room like a few hours after the show, my dressing room, my personal dressing room, and on the floor is Mel B, Jess Glyn, and Adele. Eating my crisps off my rider. And I'm like, hang on a minute, girls. Why are you here? So I sat down, joined in, of course. And my little girl was there as well, actually. It was quite late into the night now. And, you know, the conversation, it was a very fun conversation. Mm. But I just thought, yeah, I think I need to take my daughter out at this point. But we had a lot of fun. That was an amazing night.
Wasn't it just the best?
But a week after that, I'm on a float going down Paulista Avenue in Sao Paulo with my drag queens at Pride.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. I was exhausted but exhilarated.
Yeah,
you
of
know?
Course. Yeah.
I think adrenaline got me through those months. Mm. But I had my gorgeous drag queens with me from Sink the Pink. And one of my best memories of that tour was getting to the float, because it was already moving through the parade. And
why do gays love a float? Gays love a float, don't they? Basically, it's a truck. Now, you'd never get me on a truck, but put a bit of glitter and tinsel and everything. Yeah, float.
Yeah.
I'll get on that and sing.
It's bizarre. It's very, very bizarre. But this, I mean, you know what the Brazilians are like. Oh, they love a party, right?
Don't they just...
This pride is insane. There was over 3 million people on the street. So we had to get onto this float through this crowd of people. And the queens were my security. It was the most surreal experience, but so brilliant. And I remember like looking out, and I'd already spoken to the queen saying things like this. We had, I think, a 45-minute show. But it just goes by in a flash. And all of my experiences with the girls, we've got to this point where we're like, you know what, this is going to fly. Let's just really take it all in. The sights, the sounds, let's make eye contact, you know, really enjoy it. And I'd said that to the queens. And at one point I'm singing To Become One. I'm at the front of the float. I'm looking out over all of these incredible people. And I've got my pride flag. And I just took it all in and I thought, wow, you know what? This is actually on a par with Wembley Stadium. And the Spice Girls.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it was insane. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good.
It was was so good. And we went all over the world, actually. I love Pride as well. It's such a crazy event because, you know, they're often charity events.
Yes.
And everywhere you go, it's completely different. Mm. So you can have some, like, really incredible, all bells and whistles. Yeah. We were at World Pride in Times Square, New York, and that was insane. It was just absolutely incredible. And then you go to somewhere, you know, I won't say anywhere specific, but we went back to Europe and we did a few which were like village fates, you know. So you just, and that's what I love about it as well. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
Now, the weird thing about Pride is with me, I was a bit snooty about Pride, believe it or not. But I feel recently with some of the homophobia that's going around the country and the last couple of Prides, I've gone to London Pride, or when you could, you know what I mean? Because I really felt like I need to support the community. And it sounds very trying, it sounds like love is love. But when you know there's people out there who don't like you and don't want you to have equality, then that's when it does become important. You know what I mean? So I was like, I've really thrown myself into it. I said, right, I'm going to go and support this. Not snooty, that's the wrong word, but I want to be there like that? But I feel I have to be there.
Yeah.
And it's lovely that you support us.
Do you know what? I think it's really interesting. Like, you know, like everything in life, there's good and bad. And I've loved seeing the Pride community grow and the support for the community grow as well. But sometimes I feel like there's a bit of bandwagoning.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of companies get on board, you know, maybe because it looks good and they're selling their little, you know, Pride T-shirts. And you just think, how much of that is actually going to this really important cause? But what I've loved, I played Brighton that year as well, 2019. And what I've noticed, because I've played it, you know, I've played Prides all over the world as a solo artist for many years. And then working with Sync the Pink and like really getting to work very closely with the community has been amazing and a real eye-opener for me. But what I've loved is I've seen the crowd change, you know, from when it was predominantly, you know, the LGBTQ plus community to now you see families, you know, you see kids. And I think, you know, my daughter's 12 and these kids have such a different appreciation of people being different, you know, and there's a real acceptance, which I'm really proud of my daughter and her generation, really, because they're so open. They're like, and, you know, someone's gay, someone's trans. It's like, and whatever. And I just think, wow, this is such a refreshing change to see.
I think my friend Cherry was telling me her daughter, when she moved to Brighton, you know, and she said she was behind like a big trucker dressed as a nun, you know, with a pants and heels at the cash point, and no one batted an eyelid. But that's the way it should be.
It's brilliant.
And I got my money out in the end.
Oh man, honestly, you see the most wonderful things, and I think it is that real coming together. And I say again, like working with Sync the Pink, it's such an education to me. You know, I've learned so much, and I really feel part of the community. You know, I'm proud to be an ally.
Yeah.
But I think it's something everybody can feel they're a part of.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
With your new album, Melanie C, when are you touring with that? Has it been postponed? Because my stand-up tour has been postponed 4 times. It's so frustrating. I'm gagging to get out there, and I know you just love performing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird time for me now because the album came out, I can't even remember when it came out. My first single came out about 2 weeks into the first lockdown in 2020. And so I've been kept really busy. being online has been amazing. You know, I've been able to reach out to fans, have that connection. I've released, I think, 4 or 5 singles. We made videos, and that was all great. But now is the time when I'd be going out. I'd be going out there on the road. Yeah. So my tour has been postponed. I was due out April, May 21, which has been pushed back to Jan, Feb 22. So it's a long way. It's a long time to wait, isn't
it? I know. It's frustrating, isn't it? I'm trying to describe it, really, because they said you being you, but it feels a very defiant album. Who I am, blame it on me. It sounds like you've got no more fucks to give.
Well, you know what? There's
can
been...
I say fuck on my own podcast?
You can do what you want. This album feels like a new beginning, really.
Yeah.
I've worked with a whole new team of people, which always gives you a bit of a kick up the bum, doesn't it?
Yeah,
really refreshes things, and it gave me a new energy. And yeah, I think I feel braver. And that comes with age as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I was working with wonderful people I've worked with before, like Biff, Richard Stannard, who did lots of Spice Girls stuff with us. And I've also been introduced to lots of new writers and producers, like Bill and Ted and One Bit and Future Cut. And it just gave me this opportunity to like feel really comfortable with people I know, so I could like, you know, really delve into my emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
But just have this fresh new energy as well. So I love this album. It's been received so well.
Yeah.
It's quite dancey. You know, I've been DJing for a couple of years and really rekindled that love of dance
Overload
music.
Overload is my favourite.
Is it?
You can't not move to that.
I love it too. I can't wait to do that on stage. Yeah. I did a live stream back
it's
in
funky.
October.
It's so
it
funky.
It is funky. It's got a nice little bass line, hasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
So well, that that's... No, that just sounded like I was constipated.
This is your captain speaking. The seatbelt sign is now on. Hold on to your hat.
So listen, what are you like on holiday? Do you go there? This is how I'm going to put it to you.
Yeah.
Are you like you in the I Turn to You video where you're up a podium gyrating, or is it more never be the same again? Bit on a treadmill, bit of Tai Chi. Which one is you?
Well, I'm a bit of both, I think. But I have this thing, I think like many people, we all work so hard, don't we? And we're dead busy. When you go on holiday, it's really hard to wind down, isn't it? So it takes a few days to get into it, doesn't it? And then you have that real lovely period when you just feel really chilled. Mm. You're having a lovely time.
Yeah.
You know, your lovely meals, your lovely wine. Is it time for a drink yet? And then towards the end of the holiday, you start thinking about going home, don't you?
And
you start winding back up again.
And you feel your neck tightening up and
the shoulders start raising, don't they? So I'd say there is that lovely, like that kind of middle period of a holiday when I really let my hair down and have a great time. But yeah, the beginning and the end are kind of a little bit more anxiety ridden.
And do you do the sightseeing or any, are you just laying by the beach with a pile of books? Do you take books, podcasts? What do you do?
It's a good opportunity to listen to music. Yeah. I find lying there. It's tricky. It has been tricky for the last decade or so because my daughter's been quite young.
Yes.
Mum, come in the pool. Come in the pool. All mums out there will identify with
That's
this.
That's exactly what Jessie Ware was saying when we had her on, you know.
You know, and it's you're just cold. You just want to be warm. You know, sometimes when we get further into talking about holidays, there's somewhere that's going to come up that I know you've been to too. And yeah, you're just never
How
warm
do you know
there.
This? Have they, what, I've not been banned, am I?
Well, the thing is.
No, what?
With
There's not a poster of me in the foyer with a red.
When you arrive at the airport, most wanted. Interpol. No. It's social media. We know everything about everyone now, don't we?
Because I'm Tom Allen on here. And I said, oh, did you ever find your luggage in San Francisco? How'd you know that? I said, it's on your Instagram, but I've nicked it. We give too much away on Insta, I tell you that.
I know, it's,
people looking in the background, what's going on? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You could tell them, like, the meaning of life, but they're truly looking at what you book. I wanted to put stuff like a sex toy or a gun in the background just to get people really talking.
Yeah, because they do, don't they?
Yeah, what's in the background? Yeah. So where's this place that apparently I've been to? Come on.
Mykonos.
Oh, I love Mykonos. Yeah, but as you know, the price of Whispering Angel's gone too far up.
Well, I had probably one of my most fabulous holidays, because it's so fabulous,
isn't
it? It's beyond fabulous. But it's so windy. And it never stops. And no one told me that. So even though the weather's beautiful, you're always a bit chilly.
Yeah.
And your hair's a mess.
But then they have that nudist beach there. And I mean, they are brave because it is quite...
The body's there,
though. Oh, I know.
Aye, aye, aye. I tell you what, one of my favourite days was Jackie O's.
Oh, I love Jackie O's.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
And do you know what I love about there? Because it goes from drag, doesn't it? But there's not a big announcement that it's drag. And then the drag show starts. You're sitting there. You've probably had a few too many rosés. I'm like, Paul, look at that ugly woman. And it was... Then you call you when I need you. And then, oh, my God, then she's dancing like Tina Turner. But she's got the red leather dress on Tina Turner. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a drag show. You have to tell me. But Mykonos is, yes, something else. It's so good. But then, you know, Santorini, have you ever been there?
I haven't.
That's the other side. It's very peaceful and chilled and lovely. Yeah.
That might be a bit more of me these days.
You grew up in Whiston.
Well, I was born in Whiston Hospital.
Yeah.
And I lived there for, I think, maybe a couple of years, first 2 years of my life. But then I moved around a bit, actually. My mum and dad divorced when I was about three. And I was in Runcorn, a little place. Wow. It's just outside, kind of in between Liverpool and
Runcorn,
Manchester.
Runcorn, love.
Ooh. What is it? 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps?
Yeah.
We're set in Runcorn. And then I ended up in Widnes when I was about eight, which is just over, there's a bridge just over the Mersey. And that's where I kind of, my formative years, should we say.
Yeah, but where do you go on holiday if you're in that area?
Well, Scouse Riviera, isn't it? Real landed now.
Oh, yeah, I've been to Real.
Yeah, all
those
lovely places.
Do they have those dinosaur parks still there, those fake dinosaurs?
I have no idea. My sister actually lives very close to landed now.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I was lucky as a kid because my dad was a holiday rep.
Wow.
Yeah. So I used to spend the whole 6 week holiday either in France or Spain.
Result, love.
I know, isn't it? Yeah, it was incredible. I used to love it. And it was so different, like, to all my mates. You'd just go away for 2 weeks and I'd be like off. Packing me bags,
oh,
6 weeks in the sun,
Because you know what? Because I was going to ask you about this, because I was filming these game shows up in Manchester and Cabin Fever, nothing's open. And, you know, I love Manchester so much, but when the shops aren't open, no bars and clubs, you know. So we went to Crosby Beach, you know, where Anthony Gormley and all the...
Yeah.
It was meant to be really eerie and we're like there. And then someone had put like a football shirt on some of them. It sort of did spoil it a bit because you're like, oh... Everton supporters a bit too far out.
It's amazing there, though, isn't
it? It's so great.
I was there, last year in the summer, I went home in between our lockdowns. And we've got friends that live there. So, yeah, it's an incredible place. Yeah.
Because I thought you lived in Whiston, because I love that Willie Russell was also born there and then you did Blood Brothers.
Oh, I didn't realise he was born there.
Yes, because I looked at the alumni and I went, all these things to talk about. I went, how is that? And I didn't know whether you might have known the family and that's what made you do Blood Brothers.
No. Well, I think everyone did Blood Brothers at school, didn't they? I think it was part of the curriculum at one point. In the 80s it was.
Oh, why didn't I do it?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh. Or maybe it was a Liverpool thing.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah. But I think it's been taught in schools quite a lot.
Did you ever do Educating Rita?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a fantastic...
You'd be perfect at that.
Do you not think I'm a bit too old now?
What?
What
a
question.
I was about to say, oh, they can CGI you, but then that made you look like you're so old that they'd have to use CGI.
Do you know what? In theatre, you can get away with murder.
Oh,
when I did Blood Brothers, I think my son was older than me. So, you know, when he was supposed to be seven, he was in his 30s.
Sorry about that.
Theatre, darling.
You love the theatre, don't you?
I do love the theatre. The thing about the theatre is, I think, because when I was young and I did lots of performing arts at school and I went to shows when they came into town, and it's just that magical thing of an audience, isn't it? And then just having the opportunity to do Blood Brothers in the West End, and then I did Jesus Christ Superstar, which was
an arena
tour.
Which I came to see as well.
Yeah, that
and
was
then
amazing.
I saw that, and you think, I don't know how to love him. And then when you sang that at Shepherd's Bush, remember that? Yeah. Oh, it was so good. That's such a beautiful song.
It really is. It's an incredible show, actually. And I think doing that was so fun for me because, you know, before doing any theatre, I'd done everything with the Spice Girls. So I'd done arenas and I'd, you know, done a couple of stadiums and stuff. So to take musical theatre into an arena was just like a really, you know, a lovely, you know, comfortable place for
me. It was great. And for such a big space, you felt you were really into the story. Mm. It was absolutely brilliant. Do you know what? You're one of those people. I was saying to someone, you, whenever I'm pissed, you always seem to be there. And you must think, am I ever sober? do you remember at that gig with Ben Forster, who was Jesus Christ?
Which gig was it?
Was it The Killers?
Oh my God, that's how drunk I was. I can't even remember.
At Hyde Park.
Oh my goodness. No, was it? Wasn't it? No. It was... Carole King? No.
Oh, it was Carole King.
It was Carole King. The Killers, Carole King.
I wondered why she wasn't singing any of the songs I was requesting.
Ooh, Brandon Flowers has let himself go a bit. Yeah.
Mr. Brightside. And she's like... Carole King will not be performing any of the Killers' hits tonight. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by NARS Cosmetics. Discover iconic NARS blush, now reimagined in an upgraded formula featuring high-impact, true color payoff. With cheeky names like Orgasm, Deep Throat, Sex Appeal, and Foreplay, NARS is the ultimate authority in making you blush. 20 new and best-selling shades in matte, satin, and shimmering finishes allow for endless effects, including 4 orgasm shades to flatter all skin tones. Turn cheeks on with NARS blush. Shop now.
Lately, I've been all about my new Aveeno skincare routine. I start each day with a daily moisturizing body wash in the shower, which feels like creamy goodness and doesn't dry out my skin. After, I slather on the daily moisturizing body lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives me 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas, leaving my skin feeling soft and smooth. Shop Aveeno now at Target.
So listen, tell us when you're on holiday. Now, I know we all live in a world of austerity and no one wants to hear it, but I want hotel indulgence. I want vulgarity. What have you stayed at where you're at? And I don't want this, oh, I got a chocolate on my pillow. I want proper. What's your biggest extravagance at a hotel where you've gone, wow? Because you live in hotels. You're such a grafter. Yeah. You tour all over the world.
It's true. The best thing about really, really fancy hotels is when someone else is paying.
Oh, yes.
So when you're there and you're working, so people know you're in town, often the hotel, this never happens when you're on your holidays, but if you're there working, they want to impress you. Mm. So they always upgrade you. You know, so you go to like really amazing suites. I had this suite again in Switzerland, funnily enough. I have to remember the name of the hotel. But it was like, I think it was really big in the 70s. Like loads of big stars had stayed there, but they've recently done it up and it's really zhuzhy. There's like the top floors decorated completely differently for a different kind of clientele. But I had this suite and it was, I mean, you could like run around in it.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Couple of bedrooms, a big like boardroom, dining room, you know, fully kitted out kitchen. Mm. And that had an amazing bath, actually. Massive bath, like takes about a week to fill it.
That's the trouble with those baths. You think, oh, I'll have a bath. And then you're like, I'll have it Wednesday.
You know what bothers me a lot about these, you know, and this is being really spoilt now. When you've got a big hotel suite like that and you turn up and they've got the classical music playing. Haven't they? And they've got all the lights on everywhere, and you can never figure out how to turn it all off. Can you?
That's,
you know,
right? Yeah.
Sometimes, and especially when you're knackered, when you're touring, and you just get in your hotel, you just want to go to bed. You want a bath, and you want to go to bed, and you're up for like half an hour trying to figure out the lighting on the wall. Just give me a switch.
I stayed at one where the TV was behind the a picture. No one ever told me. I was like, what a shit room. There's not even a telly. And then as I leave, they go, nye, nye. I mean, it felt very James Bond, but
I've got quite a funny telly story. I remember being in a really swish hotel. I think it was in Rome. It was definitely Italy. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I could hear this talking. And I thought, is it coming through the vent? Where's it coming from? And I actually rang down and I complained, and then I realised I didn't know. But you know, the bottom of your bed sometimes they have one of those tellies that like rises up.
Oh,
out of the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the telly was on in there.
Oh,
and
no.
And I'd been having a go at the people on the front desk because people were talking in the corridor. And it was my telly the whole time. Never mind.
To the lady shouting zig a zig R drunkenly in row C, can you please be quiet?
Do you ever complain?
Do you know what? I'm not a complainer. My partner does enough of that for both of us. You're kind of one of those people, or you're not, I think.
Yeah, my Paul complains. He loves to complain, but I'm like, leave it.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you never complained about anything. What does get you go? Is it, I mean, I suppose if you're touring, the last thing you need is someone talking loudly in the next room or staff.
Yeah.
But I suppose when you're on holiday, when was the last time I complained? Well, I tell Paul to complain. Because I'm like, oh, Alan Carr's so nice, isn't he?
Yeah, that's
his
the thing. He's
such
in...
an arsehole. I'm like, yes. I love the sound of people shouting loudly outside my window.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're in the public eye, you don't want a bad reputation,
no,
do you?
And then word spreads around. Oh, yeah. That Melanie Sewell.
Oh, yeah.
What a cow.
You're right. On holiday, I'm a lot more relaxed. If I'm working, noise is the only thing. Because, like, if I need a good night's sleep for a show the next day, I don't want to hear noise. Yeah. I've got another funny story, actually, noise story. And this isn't a very swish hotel. I think it was a very basic hotel. I was up somewhere in Scotland and there was actually a fight outside my door. And I think I'd done some awards. And then, but the next day I was getting the train straight back to London and I was sitting in for Zoe Ball on Radio 2.
Oh, yes.
And it was the first time I'd ever done live radio. I was cacking my pants, right? And so I'd done this thing and I couldn't sleep anyway. And I just nodded off. And there's this massive bang. There's a fight in the corridor.
Oh, no.
And they literally, like, yeah, crash into my bedroom door. And, yeah, it completely woke me up. And they got carted off. I think the police came and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you want, what you really, really want. To stop drinking.
So you're touring next year. With Melanie C.
I am.
What are you going to do in the meantime?
Okay, well, I have been booked for some festivals.
Oh, fantastic.
Which are later in the summer.
Yeah.
I think everybody's still feeling nervous to how things are going to go.
Yeah,
so a few things in the UK. I've got a couple in Europe. I'm unsure to whether they'll happen. So a few shows here. But other than that, as the wait is going to be so long until I get back on stage with my band, I think I want to release some more music.
Yeah,
I want to go back into the studio. Just keep it fresh, you know?
Of course. Yeah.
Just keep making stuff and, you know, you have to keep people interested, don't you? I don't want the album did so well.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just, like, fade away.
No. And you're such a great live performer that
that album deserves to
be played live.
Yeah, we did the live stream, which was amazing, but it was kind of bittersweet because it was like, we rehearsed, obviously, as you would for a tour.
Yeah.
You do one gig and you're done. So, we're gagging to get back out there.
Well, I'll be there for...
You will be there.
Overload.
It's great laugh.
Now, please allow me one Spice Girl question. And I'm not going to do that one about the bloody fucking reunion, because ever since you were on Friday night, everyone has asked you that. But this is a travel perspective.
Yeah.
Wannabe, the video. Now, you've said, I'm not being a bitch. You said it yourself. Very cheap. And then the next one. This is the thing I'm intrigued about. Now, the next video, was it Say You'll Be There?
Yeah.
Now, what happened? Obviously, Wannabe was this global smash.
Yeah.
That video, there were two separate things. So that Say You'll Be There was so high tech, so expensive.
Yeah.
Was you woohoo when they said you're going? Is it Mojave
Desert? Yeah. In California.
That must have been a big deal for you.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously... When the Spice Girls, when we were signed by Virgin Records, but there was a little bit of a bun fight for the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
There was a real buzz around the band and the music that we were making. And so I think there was a big budget in place. But obviously, with the first single, you're going to hedge your bets a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
And although Wannabe looks very cheap, it probably wasn't that cheap, to be honest.
I feel bad now, but I think you said it. Someone said it was cheap.
Yeah, it looks cheap, doesn't it?
Oh, God, I feel awful.
Don't feel bad.
It does look a bit cheap.
Alan, to be honest, people have said worse things about the Spice Girls. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It really is fine. So we did that video. And, you know, the thing is about Wannabe, it is ramshackle. It introduces the Spice Girls. We are ramshackle to this day.
Yeah.
You know, well, some of us more than others. But But that was quite groundbreaking as a video because it was all done in one shot. And that was the first time that had been done in a music video. So that's pretty cool. But then when we went on to do the second single, obviously Wannabe had been a worldwide smash.
Yes, yeah.
And we were working with Virgin Records in the US at that point. Mm. So it was became, you know, throwing everything at
it. That's all I know. Because I just, the difference in, you know, quality of the video is like, wow. From a travel perspective, what's the Mojave Desert like?
It was, from what I can remember, obviously it was a crazy time.
Yeah.
And we stayed in a little motel. So that the kind of, the accommodation was quite shabby.
Of course, yeah.
But, the, you know, obviously the location was incredible. So, yeah, it was, I mean, obviously my memories of that time are a little bit blurry. But I just remember it being so exciting.
Yeah,
it was... you know, we always felt like Wannabe, the first single, you know, people are going to love it or hate it, but we felt very excited that we had great music to back it up.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
Say You'd Be There, yes, being the second single.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Please refrain from backflipping along the aisle of the airplane, please.
Quick fire round, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Street food or a la carte?
Street food.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Hammock or Hilton?
Hilton. Hammocks are really uncomfortable.
I know.
You can't get comfy on them and then they leave you with like waffly bum.
Yeah. Oh, when you roll over and your back fat's still hanging through the hole. Mile High member or non-member?
Oh, non-member.
Nudist or not on your Nelly?
Oh, not on your Nelly.
Have you ever skinny dipped? Even I've skinny dipped and your body's amazing.
I don't know whether I have. I've been on a nudist beach with Mel B. Which won't surprise you.
No. But I mean, that sand could talk.
I tell you what, though, with a body like that, why not?
Well,
I mean, why not? I think I might have braved going topless. I think we went on holiday to Maui, the five of us, and it was before we released Wannabe. Our manager said to us, "Look, things are going to go crazy. You're not going to have time to do anything. Go and have a fabulous holiday.
Yeah.
And then when you get back, work begins." And it was funny actually because we. You know, at that point, we were all, you know, we were all still skint. We'd done nothing. I mean, I think we'd been signing on leading up to that point, you know, trying to get work. And then we, you know, we were signed and then things began to change. So we were staying at this like 5-star resort. But we literally, you know, a lot of us came from nothing.
Yeah.
So we were having these experiences and it was so funny because we had this incredible holiday in this amazing place. And then for some reason, someone had booked our hotel to one day, but the flight was the following day. So we rocked up to the airport a day early.
Oh, no.
And we had nowhere to stay. We had no money.
God. People don't realise this, do they?
No, it's funny because this picture cropped up on social media recently of us all. We're all sulking. And it's because we had to go and find a motel to stay at for one night before we could actually fly home. And we'd just been at this 5-star hotel for like 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
And then so it was like crashed back down to reality. But yeah, that was an amazing holiday with the girls before anything. But that's when I went to a nudist beach with Mel B. And I might have braved taken my top off, but
No. Fridge magnet or forget it? Do you get little souvenirs, little trinkets, towels, tea towels?
You know what? I hate all that.
You tell it.
Yeah. You know, when you're buying prezzies for people, like when the kids are little, don't get a little memento. Get a present for your nan, you know, and all that. But I just hate having all that shit in my house.
Yeah. They're funny for a little bit and then get rid. Straight in the landfill.
Yeah.
And this, excuse me language, tip 'em or fuck 'em. Because,
sorry.
You know, you know at the end when you give them good service, I always tip and I'm not doing the goody two shoes, but there's some mentality thing, I'm never seeing them again.
Fuck 'em. Yeah. No, I'm like, you know, going back to the complaining thing, like, I don't want to be seen as tight either. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to be a bitch and I don't want to be tight.
Yeah.
So I probably over tip people.
Yes.
So I get a good reputation. She's so generous.
And my Paul goes back in the room and then slips his money back in mine. No. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, there's so many more holidays, but we need to do a part 2.
Well, let's do a sequel. Yeah. Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you.
Oh, it's been so lovely to see you. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
If you want to support our podcast, please hit the subscribe button below. And don't bother unpacking, because we're going away next week.